you would, turn with me to Leviticus, the 8th chapter. Leviticus, the 8th chapter. And in this count that we have a record of the consecration of Aaron and his sons as priests. Aaron being the high priest, of course, and Aaron's sons as being priest of God. People have come out of Egypt, and now God has given instruction for the building of the tabernacle, for worship that was to be done, and now the consecration of the priests. And the reason for that consecration was is that until they had been consecrated, until they had been purified, they were not fit for service, neither for themselves nor for the people that they would do service for. When you look through this particular passage and you see the things that take place included in them, I'm not name all of them, but here in Leviticus 8 chapter, special clothing is put upon not only Aaron as high priest, but also upon his sons as high priest. And that designated them, separated them apart from the others, because they were going to be doing service in connection with sacrifice unto God on behalf of the people and for themselves. Aaron, blood was taken from a sacrifice by Moses, and Moses dipped his finger in that blood and touched the right ear of Aaron and the right thumb of Aaron and the right big toe of Aaron, placing that blood upon him. As a type, I believe, of Christ Jesus, we might put it this way, he was covered head to toe with blood. It was blood upon him. And so until all those things were done in this sequence of consecration of Aaron and his sons, they were not fit for service. And then when we look over in the 9th chapter of Leviticus, you see then the sacrifices that were made, and Aaron had to offer sacrifices for himself and for his sons. And then as you come down on to about verse 15 or so, there was a sin offering, a goat that was to be slain. And the blood of that sacrifice then would be placed upon, of course, the Holy of Holies, or on the altar rather. And also that sacrifice that was for a sin offering for all the people was to be totally consumed by Aaron and his sons. And all of this in connection with that consecration. And this now is the 8th day, as we see here in the 9th chapter of Leviticus, that these things have been taking place. All the different sacrifices, all the different offerings that have been given, the blood placed upon the altar and upon Aaron, and the special clothing, and all those things take place. And then a real familiar passage of Scripture, and I'll not go into that real long, but I just want to mention it. That's Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, and we'll look at a few more verses there also. Something, as I said, is very familiar to us. Of course, Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, serving now as priests, and in connection with this consecration that they've been going through, go and stand in the holy place and offer strange fire before the Lord, which had not been commanded by him. And we know exactly what happened. It says in verse 2, "And there came forth fire from before the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." God's judgment, God's justice was upon them. They had disobeyed what God had told them to do. All the instructions had been given earlier, Exodus the 30th chapter, even to not about only the fire, but even the incense that would be burned in these vessels that they were carrying and so forth. All was there. The recipe even for the incense and the fire that was to be used, that had been brought out of Egypt, that was to be used, a fire of deliverance. And they offered unauthorized fire. Some of your versions probably say that, unauthorized fire before the Lord. Strange fire in other versions. And the Lord devours them. And we see that in this, there is justice from God in connection with his treatment of Nadab and Abihu. And we recognize it. And we recognize that what they did in their sin is that they did not act by faith. They did not believe God. They went out on their own and offered a sacrifice. A fire that was unauthorized, not pleasing to the Lord, and the Lord answered then with his justice. When we look then in verse 3, Moses, of course, comments upon this situation. And he said to Aaron, "This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me." And what he's saying is, I will be separated, I'll be set apart by those that do service unto me as my priest, as my high priest. I expect them to separate me before all the people. I will be counted as holy, is what is being stated by Moses at this time in connection with what the priest would be doing. They are to glorify me. The very words really that James used in his prayer, may the glorification that we give be given to God, and this is God's demand, and he has right to demand that, and we recognize that. And then he also says, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. You'll not take upon yourself to do what you want to do, but you will glorify me in your actions, and so sanctify me in your actions, and the people then will glorify me, not you, because it is my determination of how I am worshipped. And we understand that. Moses then calls Mishael in verse 4 and Eliphaz, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, draw and carry out your brethren, the dead bodies, from before the sanctuary out of the camp. And so they did not get the direct descendants of Aaron to do that. And got those separate apart, and here's the reason why. And Moses said, verse 6, unto Aaron, unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, let not the hair of your heads go loose, neither tear your clothes, that you die not, and that he be not wroth with all the congregation, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. We recognize what has taken place. You have Aaron that's just lost two of his sons. Two of them are dead. You have Eleazar and Ithamar that are there also, and their brothers are dead. And Moses, as mediator of the law, speaks to them very directly, to Aaron and to the remaining two sons, and says, you will not mourn. You will not go out. You'll not be of sad countenance. You shall not go outside the door, verse 7 of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing of the Lord is upon you. You will not let your hair down. In other words, you will not let yourself go and not look proper. You'll not do that. You'll not mourn before the brethren. You will not mourn for the sins of the disobedient. You'll not do it. Yet it was children of Aaron, two sons. And it says at the end of verse 7, and they, that is Aaron and his brothers, they did according to the word of Moses. We look at this and we understand that a very stressful situation has taken place. A man has lost two children. Two brothers have lost two other brothers. And yet you have the instruction that is given there. You don't show mourning in this. You don't do it. You're representatives of God. And what he's saying to Aaron, you are representative, Aaron, you are representative of a type of Messiah, of Christ that would come. And you don't mourn the sinful that has acted on their own. You don't do that. Of course, verse 10 and verse 11. Moses says to them, you shall make a distinction, you shall distinguish between the holy and the commonplace, between the unclean and the clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by Moses. He gives instruction to him here. You will show forth in what you do, in your actions, in not mourning, and in your worship unto God, you will show a distinction in everything that you do, in the way that you live. You'll show a distinction that you are above sin, and you don't condone sin, and you don't mourn for the sinner that have rejected and rebelled against God's word. You don't do that. And you will teach your people, you will teach my people rather, by not condoning that sin and by making distinction of what is holy and what is commonplace. You will do that. Just stop right here for just a moment and think about this situation and think about the demands that are placed upon Aaron and his living sons after losing their family, two of their family, Nadab and Abihu. And certainly I think we understand that there is justice that is being done by God because actions of faith were not followed by Nadab and Abihu. It is really rejection, rebellion, for whatever reason. It was rejection, rebellion against God and what they did. And we understand that that teaching was there, and they had to be examples to all the others in this situation. And I think that we can understand an application to us today, that there cannot be overmuch sorrow over those that reject and rebel against the Lord. Now, we should pray for their souls, not that they be saved in their condition, but rather that they would come to a knowledge of the truth, to the hearing of the truth, that they would come to that. But we don't respect the person of the individual in connection with that, and that is from a matter of faith and a matter of justice. And I think that we see that. We go down a little bit further here in Leviticus, the 10th chapter. In verse 16, it says, "And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt." If we had wanted to take the time, I'd mention it to you. That is not what was to happen to that offering. That offering was an offering for all the children of Israel, for the whole camp, a sin offering. And after it had been slain, it was to be eaten completely. To be eaten by Aaron and his children, his sons that were serving as priests. And Moses sought diligently for that. And so here you have it. I want you to understand this scene. Going all the way back to where we started in Leviticus 8 chapter, you have the mediator of the law that is coming, and he is assisting in this whole situation with the consecration of Aaron and his sons, and he is telling them what to do as far as the sacrifices that are to be offered. He is mediating the law that had come from God to those that were of the camp, of the children of Israel. And now he notices an indiscretion that has taken place. Where is the offering that was to be eaten completely? Where is that offering? He sought it diligently. And it says it was burnt. That's not the way it was to be handled. That is against God's will. God had given instruction to Moses, when you go back in the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 3 and going on down through verse 15, that was not to be a burnt sacrifice. This was an offering for sin, and the disposition of that animal was to be completely consumed by Aaron and his sons. And here you have the mediator of the law pointing out that indiscretion. And it says, "And Moses was angry with Eleazar and with Ithamar and the sons of Aaron that were left, saying, Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, seeing it is the most holy, and he hath given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was brought into the sanctuary within. You should certainly have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded." Now think about the situation just again. Moses is certainly intent. He is intent, being mediator of the law, that things be done in accordance with God's law, and that is proper and that is right, and that's the way that should have been handled. But also think about the situation too. You have a family member of two family members of Aaron and his two sons, the two that were killed, Nadab and Abihu, that there is, no matter whether or not they could show it outwardly, there had to be mourning taking place over that. They lost family. And even if they'd done wrong, they were still family. They were still family. And so here you have Moses wanting to be a strict adherent to the law, which is, by the way, necessary. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the Mosaic law or if you're talking about the new covenant we're under today. We cannot set aside any law that God has given us. We cannot set aside any command that God has given. We are to follow each and every bit of it. We are bound by it. We are set apart to follow God's will, His commands. And it cannot be left off that we say, well, we just decided not to do that. But I want you to look at something now. Verse 19. "Aaron said to Moses, Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. He's talking about his sons and also all the offerings for Israel. They've been offered. He said all the offerings that have been given has been offered. They've been given. And there has befallen me such things. And what he's saying is there's befallen me a loss of my family, two of my sons. And he says, would I have been well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord? And what he means by that, would I be well-pleasing to partake in that sin offering and to eat a sacrifice that was made for the people when my heart was really not with it, when my heart was in sorrow and heavy for my sons that I lost? Now again, get the picture. Direct commandment given to Nadab and Abihu. You offer this fire that is prescribed by the Lord. You offer nothing else. We see that in Exodus 30 chapter verses 8 and 9 and continuing. We see all of that taking place. They did not do that. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes them. And just a few moments later now, Aaron and his sons have not partaken of and eaten completely the sacrifice that was intended for the sin offering of Israel, but rather burned it up. And all Aaron says is, would I be well-pleasing if I did not worship God? And let me insert a thought here of what Aaron is saying. If I did not worship God in spirit and in truth because of the situation and condition. Different versions read differently in verse 20. Daryl, read yours in verse 20 if you don't mind.
What chapter?
It's chapter 10. It's Leviticus chapter 10, verse 20. Leviticus 10, chapter verse 20. The American Standard says, when Moses heard that, it was well-pleasing in his sight. What does yours say, Daryl?
When Moses heard this, he was satisfied.
He was satisfied. What does yours say, sir?
Content.
Different words that are used, different versions say sufficed and so forth. Let me tell you, because no action came against Aaron and his sons for not eating that sacrifice and rather burning it up, handling it improper in deference to the word that had been given, no action was taken unto them, neither by Moses or by God in that situation. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that as we turn over to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And of course, we recognize this particular chapter in which Jesus over and over again says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, and then he names the things that they do which are contrary to the will of God. The things that they do to boast about themselves, the things that they do to vaunt themselves, the things that they do to place burdens upon others that they will not with their own finger even lift, how they even devoured widows' houses, how they even mistreated the people. In verse 23 of Matthew 23, the Lord said to them, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these you ought to have done and not to have left the other undone. Back in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, justice was taken care of by God against those that were disobedient to him, Nadab and Abihu. And faith was in consideration because it was rejected. Yet it was shown forth in Moses by what he was demanding in the law keeping. But I want us to notice this, that even back in Leviticus the 10th chapter, one of the weightier matters of the law was brought to bear by not only Moses, but especially by God. Because when they did not handle the sacrifice the way that they should have, there was mercy that was portrayed upon them. Because God did not consume them with fire. God did not punish them because of the condition, the situation that exists. That is, Aaron losing his two sons. Dead. Gone. I think about this and I wonder, would Jesus say the words to us today in Matthew that he spoke in Matthew 23 and verse 23? You've left off the weightier matters of the law. I think that we're all really good in justice. We can look to God's Word. We can see how there is teaching against and promises against those that disobey God's Word. We understand that. We can give warning. We can do that, and we do it well and rightfully so. And we see the faith that is God. And wherever you look at the faith that is there in connection with God, it is the faith, the system of faith. It's not just from our own mind and our own thought, but it is the faith, that system of faith that is given by God that must be adhered to. But there's something else that God requires of us, just as it should have been with His people of all time and as demonstrated back in Leviticus, the 10th chapter. Mercy was shown. Pharisees and scribes, they being hypocrites, didn't do it. What about us? Do we show the mercy to those that are weak that we need to show? Do we show the mercy to those that really need comforting? Do we show the mercy to those that are not of full understanding and knowledge? Maybe they're babes in Christ. You know, I mean, it was a direct offense of the command back in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, you shall eat it completely. And they burned it. We can't worship God in our current situation. We can't do it. We're mourning for our family that we lost. And Moses, in essence, says, and I believe in accordance with God's will, and rightfully so. We understand. We are not to make excuse for people. People are real good about doing that for themselves. But at the same time, we need to recognize that each and every one of us, we need mercy. We need mercy. And I know that the word mercy is not used, but whenever I think about John, the first chapter, verse 40, it really, I think, fits in connection with this. Through Moses came the law. Through grace and truth came Jesus Christ. He brought grace and truth. And I think it fits in with that mercy. We don't excuse disobedience. But also, we need to look at the situation from time to time. And I think maybe we can all be more compassionate in certain situations. If someone here would hear that and say, well, then I'll just take advantage of that. I'll get the, oh, woe is me thing going. That's not what took place. That's not what took place there. It was direct offense, but yet there was a tragic situation that had taken place. And just as they needed mercy, you and I need mercy. And so I ask us this evening, will we show that mercy that was extended by those that disobeyed directly God's command in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, namely the high priest Aaron and his two sons? Will we not rather, because Christ Jesus died for us, and this was back in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, all they had was atonement. They didn't have true reconciliation to God. But now there is reconciliation to God. Not a covering of sin, but an obliterating of sin. Being united to the... Will we not show even greater mercy and grace to our brethren? To those that are in the world that don't understand, will we take that patience in order to teach them? Will we show them with kindness and love what God's Word is? Yes, many will reject and many will turn and rend us. And when that happens, we cast not our pearl before swine. We don't do that. But still, we make the presentation of God's Word with grace, truth, and mercy. Are we strong enough to do that? Think about that, and let's see if we can make an application of this in our lives. If you've not been merciful as you should, what Jesus really says in the Sermon on the Mount is, if you don't forgive, don't expect to be forgiven. If you don't show mercy to others, you don't expect to receive mercy from the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you and I must have mercy. There is no making it into heaven without it. As a matter of fact, it is the only element that will get us there. Mercy from God. Justice won't do it and law keeping won't do it. Mercy from God. Enter into my rest, thou good and faithful servant. That is a statement of mercy. Do you want that? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.